The Los Angeles Clippers signed former Michigan State standout Brandon Dawson. The team announced that news yesterday. Dawson's rights were acquired in a draft night trade with the New Orleans Pelicans, of course, who selected the 6'6", 225-pound forward with a second-round pick, 56th overall, and traded Dawson to the Clippers for some moolah. Now, Dawson enjoyed a strong showing in the Orlando Summer League, averaging 12.8 points and 10.3 rebounds in four games, recording three double-doubles. We'll discuss the specifics of that contract, later on in the show. New details concerning Michigan State basketball player Aaron Harris. It's being reported that he had a blood alcohol content of 0.12 after he was arrested on July 1st for driving while intoxicated, according to the East Lansing Police Report. Now, the legal limit in Michigan is 0.08. Police pulled Harris over in a 2002 Honda at 1:55 a.m. on July 1st for improper lane usage, the report shows. Now, Harris's breath smelled of alcohol, and he admitted to having, quote, 3 to 4 drinks. Nick Saban was called out by one of his former players yesterday after the coach called for the timetable for players to receive feedback from the NFL prospects to be pushed back because it was a distraction. Plaxico Burress, who played for Saban at Michigan State, ripped his former coach on Twitter, saying the coach lied to Spartans in 1999 when he said he was committed to the school, only to leave the next day to become the head coach at LSU. After a month listing his Pittsfield Township mansion for sale, former University of Michigan head football coach Brady Hoke has sold the 11,000-square-foot house for a cool $2.75 million. Now, Nicholas Mazzola, a realtor with Howard Hanna, who represented the buyers of the home, confirmed the sale and said it closed last Friday. A sale had been pending for the house but wasn't finalized until last week. The British Open is currently underway, ladies and gents, and right now as we speak, Dustin Johnson leads the field at 7-under. Then you have a bunch of guys that tied for six. It's like a 4 or 5-way tie for sixth place. And then a few others tied for fifth place, for third place, I should say. So again, we'll keep you updated throughout this round. If you want to know how Tiger Woods did, he shot a 4-over-76. Not good today, folks. Not good. All right. Swiss authorities on Thursday said they have extradited one of the high-ranking FIFA officials accused of corruption to the U.S. Now, the Swiss Federal Office of Justice declined to name the official, who was one of seven men arrested in dawn raids in Zurich at the end of May by Swiss police acting for U.S. investigators. One of the officials, Jeffrey Webb, had agreed to be extradited to the U.S., a person familiar with the matter told the Wall Street Journal last week. After beating out Floyd Mayweather Jr. for best fighter at the 2015 ESPYs last night, Ronda Rousey couldn't resist bringing up the boxer's history of domestic violence. Quote, I wonder how Floyd feels being beat by a woman for once, Rousey said. Oh, this isn't the first time Rousey has spoken out about Mayweather's past domestic violence incidents. Earlier this year, the UFC star told Access Hollywood that the only way she would fight the boxer is if the two were dating. Oh, boy. All right. The Dallas Cowboys and Dez Bryant have a deal, as a deadline to come to an agreement on a long-term deal loomed amid threats of skipping training camp and possibly regular season games. Bryant signed a 5-year deal worth $70 million on Wednesday that will pay him an average of $14 million per season. O'Brien's deal includes $32 million in fully guaranteed money, including $20 million in signing bonus and guaranteed salaries of $3 million in 2015 and $9 million in 2016. Congrats, Diz. You are one rich man. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there or even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. Without further ado, it's time to start the show.
If you want to call me names, make jokes, doubt my intentions, go ahead. Because the reality is, I can take it. But for the thousands of kids out there coming to terms with being true to who they are, they shouldn't have to take it. So for the people out there wondering what this is all about, whether it's about courage or controversy or publicity, well, I'll tell you what it's all about. It's about what happens from here. It's not just about one person. It's about thousands of people.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gents. You are tuned into Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. And that right there is the smoothest man to ever grace a mic, in my opinion. One of, I should say. Michael Wyckoff, looking up to you. How about that track? And I tell you what, there were a lot of people looking up to Caitlyn Jenner last night, as, of course, she was awarded with the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. Man, it attracted a lot of eyeballs. I turned on my TV this morning. A lot of people were talking about it on social media as well. It's everywhere, everywhere. And, you know, they had this, you know, this really interesting montage or package of a story that played before Caitlyn was called up to receive the award. And she went up there and had about a 10-minute speech. Her family was there. You saw Kim K, Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian. Kylie Jenner was in the crowd as well, along with his other children who are also sitting to his right. And it was very interesting to see the feedback that his speech, or her speech, excuse me, got and received. And, you know, I thought that, you know, the speech that Caitlyn gave at the ESPYs overall had a very solid message that, hey, everybody is somebody. And it's not right for anyone to be called names or to be ridiculed for anything, to be honest. This is a free country we live in, and everyone has free will to express themselves as they want. And, you know, especially when it comes to an individual feeling comfortable in his or her own skin. And I found it particularly interesting that throughout Caitlyn's speech, she brought up, you know, the countless examples of our youth throughout our nation that have taken their lives. Some of them, some have been, you know, had their lives taken at the hands of others due to them wanting to change their gender, excuse me. And, you know, it was one example of a kid actually right here in Michigan, in Bloomfield, Michigan, that that Caitlyn brought up, who committed suicide because of the countless opinions of others that that downed the choice of that of himself. So, you know, it's just very interesting, man. And, you know, and to see the feedback on social media, many people commending Caitlyn for the honor. Again, as I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, I still stand by my statement as well. You know, in no way, shape, or form am I pulling back on my thoughts on Caitlyn receiving an honor, because I did think that this was a ratings ploy by ESPN to attract more eyeballs to the show. Again, you had individuals out there that probably don't even watch a lick of sports but know the story of Caitlyn Jenner that tuned in last night to see her go up there and receive that honor and to see what she had to say. You know, I gave one of those examples being my grandmother, who does not watch sports at all. She watches Judge Judy, Maury, and Jerry Springer on a daily basis. But when the ESPYs came on last night and she knew that Caitlyn Jenner was going to go up there and receive that honor, she tuned in, didn't even care about sports. So it's individuals like that that, you know, ESPN was able to reach. And with that being said, I'm very curious to see what the ratings are, you know, as they come out very soon. I don't even know if they're out yet. I haven't even done a Google to see if they're out yet, but I'm very curious to see what they are. With that being said, though, again, folks, Caitlin went up there and, you know, had an interesting and powerful speech. And I really, you know, want to commend her for bringing up, you know, those examples of people across our nation who have been ridiculed, ashamed, and berated for really, you know, no justification whatsoever. And sadly, some of those individuals have lost their lives. And I thought it was very powerful that Caitlin brought up those examples and said, hey, in order to make our country a better place, we all have to love one another at the end of the day. Point blank, period. So very interesting stuff. Of course, that happened to be the highlight moment in the eyes of many last night. I'm curious to get your thoughts on last night's ESPYs. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know, probably for me, I have to say my favorite moment out of the entire ESPYs had to be Devon Steele and his emotional speech as he talked about his daughter who has been battling cancer for quite some time now. Of course, Devin, he's a member of the Cincinnati Bengals football team. And it was so interesting to see that story because he's a guy, you know, he's a football player. And when this happened, and I can only imagine because I'm not a parent, but when something like that happens with your child, you know, one day, you know, I hope that I have the privilege of becoming a father. And, you know, I hope that I have a healthy baby. And I can only imagine, you know, as a parent, you know, having to deal with your child, your son or daughter being diagnosed with cancer and having to walk them through that battle. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a 4-year-old kid here, a 4-year-old girl. And, you know, it was really inspirational, though. The key part of that speech to me was when Devon, you know, he talked about how the Cincinnati Bengals stood by his side and gave him time off, still paid him. They didn't cut him because he wasn't playing, but they understood his situation, kept him on the roster. And that enabled him to be with his daughter through that trying time. It was so emotional watching that. You know, when you're watching something that's pretty emotional and it sort of pulls at the heartstrings. Me, I don't cry. Come on, I'm a grown man. I don't cry, you know. But I tell you what, I did get the big lump in my throat watching that moment. So what was your favorite moment at the ESPYs, folks? It was a thrilling night. You know, it's one of those nights, you know, rare nights. You know, the ESPYs have become so big each and every year, but it's one of those rare nights where you get to see, you know, some of the best to ever do it. You know, on, you know, in the world of sports, gather under one roof. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, who I'm sure tuned into ABC last night to see what took place. Isaac, how you doing? And I see your man, Odell Beckham Jr., took home an ESPY for best play after that ridiculous catch with the New York Giants last season.
Al, he did, and really quite a night. I thought, for the most part, they got it right. There was some outrage about the Caitlyn Jenner thing, but also, which first off, you and I both thought it was a little bit of a ratings ploy, but nothing, it's not too egregious. It still is very brave of her. Mm-hmm. However, I think there was also some outrage about best championship performance with LeBron winning, even though he didn't win a championship. I thought he deserved it, though. I don't know about you.
He certainly deserved it. I mean, LeBron James played his heart out, you know, and many times throughout the court. I mean, you're talking about a man who did not have Kyrie Irving, did not have Kevin Love, and he was going out there and basically saying, give me the ball, I'm going to create and try my hardest in order to compete for an NBA championship. LeBron James put on one of the most memorable performances that we've ever seen in the finals. So I definitely think he deserved it. You know, you know, I don't know if you saw the article that came out not too long ago, and LeBron James talks about how he's still haunted about losing the finals to the Golden State Warriors. You know, and you know, because you get there and you're right there, you're at the NBA finals, you're at the creme de la creme of NBA competition, and you can almost touch an NBA championship. But falling in a series to a very formidable team in the Golden State Warriors, LeBron James did all he could do, and I think he was well-deserving of that award. Let's go to our phone lines right now, Isaac. We got Austin on line one. Austin, how you doing, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
Al Martin, how you doing, my brother?
Fantastic, bro. Thanks for calling in again, Austin.
No problem. Hey, first want to commend Isaac, your engineer, for his professionalism. When I called in, he touched on the Caitlyn Jenner issue a little bit. Great professionalism. I appreciate that.
He's fantastic. That's why we got him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a good man. But my favorite moments of the night, definitely when Ben Affleck went up to talk about Derek Jeter, especially for him being a Boston Red Sox fan. and the part when he said, it was like, no matter how hard you tried to boo, it's like you just couldn't feel it because he's such a great man. He's such a great athlete. His integrity is through the roof. So I think that was one of the good moments of the night. And then another one of my favorite moments was when the guy, I cannot remember his name, plays for the Bengals, and his daughter.
Devine Steele.
I think the most touching part where I jerked a couple tears is when he said, it was like I was laying next to my daughter in her hospital bed, and I felt, it looked like she was grabbing something from herself, and I felt her putting something on me. And he was saying, you know, baby, what are you doing? He was like, I'm taking my cancer away and giving it to you. Now, mm-hmm. when he first said, I'm taking my cancer and giving it to you, I was like, whoa, I don't know if I want to have it. But when he said, I didn't cry tears of sadness, but I cried tears of joy, because that's a sign from God that he's answered my prayers. I think that was one of the most touching parts of the entire night, man. That speech was awesome and everything. So I think those two moments are my most favorite.
Yeah.
And I told Isaac I won't say much on the Caitlyn Jenner issue, but Lauryn Hill, and then you had the guy that was the WMPT that runs the marathon races. I won't say much, but I'll just leave it there. But you know, hats off to Caitlyn Jenner for her courage and whatever. But, you know, I want to share my views. Maybe we could talk about it one day. But I think it was other acts of courageousness mm-hmm. that should have been honored, in my opinion.
I
but
agree.
Hats off to Jenner for doing what she did and everything.
I agree. And you know, hey, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is not going to turn down an honor. I'm sure when ESPN called her up, hey, she's going to take it. She's not going to say, no, I don't deserve it. So, and it was a powerful speech. I mean, she went up there for 10 minutes and really delivered a pretty, pretty cool message. But, and Austin, before we get you out of here, man, I know you are a big, big, big Derek Jeter fan. Am I right? So you probably cracked a smile when DJ got that honor, right?
Oh, you know it, man. Hey, I played against Kalamazoo Central in high school, got creamed by him. So, but you know, it's all good though. Derek Jeter is the only reason why I like the Yankees, and he's my favorite baseball player ever.
Yeah, it was great seeing him up there. Hey, Austin, great call. Thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, Al, before I go,
go ahead.
2016 ESPYs Championship of the Year. Austin McMurray beats Al Martin on a round of golf at whatever golf course Al chooses. I'm going to leave it right there.
Austin, you do not want these problems. I'm telling you, okay? You just called me out live on the air, so we definitely got to chop it up and settle that tea time, okay?
Hey, make sure somebody comes out and videotapes this and put it on a live episode of Current Sports.
We got you. I'll make that happen. Austin, thanks a lot, man. Great call.
Yeah, have a good one, Al.
You
too. Talk to you later, man.
All right, man. Let's go to line two. We've got one of our favorite callers calling in right now. Apache, how you doing, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing great, man. It's a good call by Austin. Austin, I went to the original Kalamazoo Central. That was one downtown, not the new one.
There you go.
relatively you go. New.
Yeah.
You know, but we had some ballers back then, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's the reason why I like Derek Jeter. I don't have no other reason to like the Yankees.
Right.
I grew up a Yankee hater, man, because they were so good.
Kind of like the Cowboys in football, right?
Yeah. As far as that is concerned, I don't watch it. I watched it one time. I couldn't get through it. I saw a bunch of beautifully dressed people making beautiful money, surrounded by other beautiful people, eating beautiful food, and... And I'm sorry, I don't want an award from them people, man. I want an award from the grassroots, you know.
Right, okay.
But,
I hear you.
Let me say this. I won't touch the Jenner thing. obviously, it's an act of courage, in my opinion, no matter how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see people like the former Arkansas coach that won the national championship, his daughter, died in the middle of making a decision whether or not he should go to Arkansas, but he went to Arkansas because his daughter said she thought he should coach there. Went on to win a national championship, did very well, said some things, talked about the racism at the university, talked about the racism in NCAA in general, and as a result lost his job. That was an act of courage. Mm-hmm. He should have got an award. So I don't have any trouble with courage as long as it's across the board, as long as it awards other people as well. You know, Bernard King went through a lot of things in his participation at the university where he was at. You know, and I get this information from the documentaries. And, you know, some of it's tear-jerking, man. It's powerful how these guys go through this incredible or overcome these incredible barricades and go on to be successful. And they need to be honored as being courageous as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excuse me. Sometimes I think it is ratings, like you've been saying. A lot of times it can be ratings, but I don't have a lot of respect for the ESPYs. And like I said, I couldn't get through the first one, so I stopped watching it. To me, it was just Hollywood entertainment.
Right. Right. It's to attract eyeballs. You know what I mean? It's all about ratings. Yeah. It's the reason why ESPN, actually, for the first year since they've been doing this ceremony, took it from the regular ESPN channel and put it on local television on ABC.
Yeah. It's all about the money. A damn thing funny. the other thing is, I'm really impressed with this Stanley Thompson, man.
Yeah,
he got a hell of a game, beautiful game. So in other words, he'll be at Detroit for a couple of years, and they'll trade him, just like they did Stuckey. You know, I mean, that's why it's hard to fall in love with the Pistons again. They get good players, and they get rid of them, and they turn out to be super superstars. You know, so.
Uh-huh.
It's just hard. It's just hard to reconnect emotionally, man, because you put a lot of emotions. I don't know how you do it. I guess it's because you're young and resilient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old and brittle, man. I can't do it no more. You know?
Stop it, Apache. You're not that old. Yeah. Stop it, brother.
And the other thing is I saw LaDante last night, playing last night. He had a hell of an outside shot, man. And one of the commentators said, hey, he's not NBA material, man. By the end of the game, he was just taking over.
Right.
So I'm happy for that, brother, since he's from Lansing. But other than that, wonderful topic, man. Keep on pushing, brothers.
Hey, great, great call as always, Apache. Really appreciate it, my man. And yeah, I think when you look at the ESPYs last night, you can certainly have that argument, Isaac. You could go either way with this, because you know it's one of those things that when I looked at it, especially when I heard the news about Caitlin, I'm like, okay, this is a ratings point. It's trying to get people to watch this event. It's amazing to see how it's grown by the year. And I will say, one thing that separates the ESPYs from any other award show is that they bring those touching stories that you don't really get to hear on a regular basis in sports. Of course, in sports, it's all about winning. It's all about contracts. It's all about who has the best squad, who's the best player out right now. But we rarely dive into the stories that go beyond. You know, we have that mantra here on current sports, going beyond the X's and O's. It's rare in sports where we get to see on a mainstream platform those stories that do go beyond the X's and O's in your usual sports talk. So it was refreshing to see, the military veteran who lost an arm get honored last night, former basketball player. And then it's also to see Devin Steele, you know, who's been, you know, going through this battle along with his daughter, who has been diagnosed with cancer. You know, those are the type of stories. Then also Lauren Hill, who sadly passed away. You know, the youth basketball player who fought so valiantly against cancer as well. Those are stories that that really need to be in the mainstream public eye, and the ESPYs do allow that forum to take place.
Very true, Al, very true. And the other thing the ESPYs do is it's just a fun way to recount the past sports year. You know, all the memories come together, and you also recognize sports that don't get as much attention and possibly should. For example, for the categories, you have best female athlete with a disability,
mm-hmm.
best male athlete with a disability, best female golfer, best WNBA player. These are sports that otherwise don't see the light of day because they're really not covered by mainstream media. So it's great that the ESPYs allow these people to get in the spotlight and noticed by millions of sports fans.
Yeah, I agree. And it's certainly, it was refreshing to see that last night. Again, our phone lines are open, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, Isaac, I think as you and I predicted, Brandon Dawson is officially in the NBA. He had an incredible summer league outing these past few weeks, and it's being reported that Dawson is going to sign a 2-year deal with the team and will make the league minimum $525,093. That's still a lot of moolah when you compare that type of a salary to the average Joe Schmo, right? $525,000. I wish I was making that, right? But the first year of the deal is guaranteed as well. So congrats to BJ. I think he really impressed throughout his summer league outing, you know, with the NBA summer league games in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, he averaged, what, 12.8 points and 10.3 rebounds in four of those games. He had a triple-double in three of the four games. And I watched the highlights. We actually had the highlights on Current Sports TV these past 2 weeks. And, I mean, he's jumping out the gym. He's showing that 15-foot jump shot that he has. He's getting rebounds. He's, you know, stealing, you know, loose balls. You know, he's stealing basketballs and going on fast breaks and hammering them down. He's incredibly athletic, and that's the thing that I think, you know, gives Brandon Dawson a really good shot at a pretty long career in the NBA. Anytime you're athletic and you can, you know, you play with that gritty attitude, you know, I think you have a chance at having a long NBA career, because every team in the NBA is looking for an energy guy. And Brandon Dawson is a guy who can certainly bring that to the table, you know, especially when looking at a roster for the Los Angeles Clippers that, you know, when you talk about the bench, they do not have a bench at all. And BJ could be one of those guys that becomes productive off of that bench.
Al, I think he will be productive, because the other thing about the Clippers is Brandon Dawson should be allowed to play in his natural position of power forward. We talked about it before, and we saw Brandon Dawson's future as primarily a small forward in the NBA, just because 6'6".
That's a shooting guard size.
Shooting guard size.
Yeah.
So he'd be a stretch at small forward, let alone at power forward. However, the Clippers roster is loaded when it comes to shooting guards.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Jamal Crawford. They've got Lance Stevenson, Austin Rivers, J.J. Redick,
Jordan
Wesley
Hamilton.
Johnson,
yeah.
Jordan Hamilton, Lester Hudson.
Austin Rivers.
That's seven.
Yeah.
Seven shooting guards on this roster. So they'll use a few of those in the small forward position, but they're going to play small and they're going to play fast, which means Dawson doesn't get contorted into some role that he doesn't want to play. He'll be playing his natural position in a run-and-gun offense, which is perfect for him.
You know, Isaac, for rookies who come into the NBA, you know, it's so interesting to watch rookies, you know, come into the league, because they know, for many who have been drafted, you know, as second-round picks, mid-second-round picks, late-second-round picks, they know that they instantly come in with a chip on their shoulder, because they know that it's all about that second contract. Brandon Dawson, I'm pretty sure, knew that he had to have a great outing in the summer league. He had to impress in order for him to get a roster spot, and he knew that first contract wasn't going to be about millions, point blank, period. But if he can prove throughout, you know, these next 2 years that he can come and be a regular, you know, energy type of a guy and be efficient off of that bench, then that he can steadily improve his worth in the NBA. That's exactly what Draymond Green did when he was drafted as a second round pick in the NBA back in 2012. You know, a lot of people weren't high on him. He didn't get paid a lot, but hey, he grinded it out. He worked his butt off. Then all of a sudden you start to see his value just increasingly go up. And, you know, hey, now he's got an NBA championship ring and he's getting paid $82 million over the course of 5 years. And it was pretty cool seeing him last night at the ESPYs as well. And he had a beautiful woman on his arm as well. I mean, man, he's living it up right now. Beautifully tailored suit. He even got a shout out from Steph Curry when Steph Curry won the Best Male Athlete Award. So Draymond Green is living on cloud nine, and he is one of those examples that I'm sure Brandon Dawson will be looking at when you talk about guys starting from the bottom and now you're here.
And that's definitely what Brandon Dawson's going to aspire for. There's so much more there beyond just the Michigan State connection, although that's a big part of it. Both are undersized guys who's came into the NBA, and a lot of people told them that physical limitations would really preclude what they could do. And both are going to try to prove people wrong. Green's done his part. But for Dawson, one thing to keep in mind, that first year is guaranteed. The second year of his contract isn't. So really, more realistically, he's got 1 year to prove himself. 1 year's plenty of time, but he's got 1 year.
Yes, he certainly does. All right, let's hit our first break, Isaac. Before we get to our first break, I want to, voice this news. He's a guy that I listen to every single morning. Colin Cowherd on ESPN. It's being said that ESPN is parting ways with Colin Cowherd. I was just listening to him, literally 30 minutes ago. More than 10 years of hosting The Herd, he's reportedly working toward an agreement to make Fox Sports his next stop. This is our first break. When we come back, we'll give you a sneak peek into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Michigan State linebacker Darian Harris. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. And I tell you what, tonight you are going to want to set your DVRs on record if you are not a night owl, okay? I know many of you guys don't stay up until 10 p.m. at night. You may have to wake up super early for work the next morning. I get it. But I tell you what, folks, you are not going to want to miss tonight's show because, man, Darian Harris, he came in our Current Sports TV studios yesterday and just lit it on fire. He was unbelievable. He was absolutely unbelievable. One of the best student-athlete interviews I've ever done. Of course, Darian Harris, linebacker for the Michigan State football team. And, Darian is going to be looked at as one of those guys, one of the catalysts on this team next year that is slated to make an immediate impact, especially when you look at the defense, a defense that has been one of the best in the nation these past 5 years. Pat Narduzzi, now leaving, longtime defensive coordinator for the Spartans with head coach Mark D'Antonio. Pat Narduzzi has, of course, taken a job with the University of Pittsburgh as their head coach. And, Deuce was one of those guys that came in and brought, an attitude to that Michigan State defense, a blue-collar, no-nonsense, we're going to knock you on your butt attitude. And, that's why you love Coach Deuce. Some of my best memories as a reporter so far here in the area have been interviewing Coach Pat Narduzzi. And, he was even savvy with the media members. I mean, he was very, very, a very, very witty guy. Darian is going to be looked at one of those guys. He's a senior. He graduates, actually, this upcoming December. He's majoring in journalism, he's collected, 64 tackles, including 4 for losses in 40 career games, and, he entered spring practice as the starting star linebacker. So here's a quick snippet from tonight's sit-down with Darian, who is actually from Silver Springs, Maryland. So I eased into our conversation by first talking with Darian about how it was growing up in Silver Springs.
It's really nice, about 5 minutes outside of D.C. I live there practically my whole life. I actually live in D.C. now, in Northeast D.C., mm-hmm. Right off North Capitol Street, so I can almost see the Capitol building from my mom's place. And it's always been nice being from there. I love being from the East Coast, love being right outside of D.C. Everybody that visits D.C. and goes and sees all the monuments and stuff, I've seen that stuff, 100,000 times.
It's so nothing now,
it's
right?
It's nothing to me. That's, backyard to me. I love the big city. I love always being on the go, being from there. So, I'm really proud to be, from the nation's capital.
We always talk about in Detroit. I'm from the west side of Detroit, and we always talk about how Detroit is just a blue-collar type of an area. What type of area is Maryland, if you could describe it?
It's really diverse. I think that's the best way to describe it. There's a lot of different areas with a lot of different kinds of people. So you get to meet and interact with a lot of different kinds of people, and that just kind of helps you out in life. In general, because you're not secluded with one, just group of people. Mm-hmm. You really get to meet a lot of different people. Everybody's really friendly there. Everybody's really nice, no matter who you are, where you came from, what your background story is. So it's just all around good time.
What's the football culture like there, and how did you get introduced to the game of football?
I think it's really growing there. It's not quite Texas, not quite, Ohio maybe, but We got a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. I got introduced because my dad played for Virginia Tech. He played safety there. And then when we ended up, when he ended up coming to Maryland, and then I came along, when I was in sixth grade, his college teammate actually started a youth organization in Maryland.
Really?
Right down the street from where I lived. So that was my first year playing for the Unity Thunders, what we were called. Then I moved on from there to the Tacoma Park Rams when I got too big to play in a weight class. I had to play in an unlimited weight class, so I moved to Tacoma Park to play there when I hit a huge growth spurt and then kind of took off from there.
What type of player was your dad, and how far did he go when it comes to the level of football?
Yeah, he was a heavy hitter. He was about 5'10", 185, playing strong safety, one of the strongest DBs to ever come through Virginia Tech. And he was a heavy hitter, a leader on that team. He was fearless when he played, started for 3 years out of his career, and, you know, took it as far as possible, you know, really took advantage of the scholarship and got his degree in business and is doing well now, extremely well as a personal trainer. So he's always loved the game, always been my number one coach, always been my number one fan, never forced me to play.
That was my next question, yeah. Because sometimes you see dads right. that have, you know, played football, mm-hmm. basketball, whatever sport it may be. If they do have a son later right. on down the line, they may want them to follow in their footsteps. So he didn't pressure you to play football when you were younger?
Nope, not at all. Never forced me to play. I actually started off playing soccer. I thought I was going to be a soccer player.
Get out of yeah. here. So you're a big soccer fan?
I'm a huge soccer fan.
What? Yeah. Really? Really? Yeah. So you played soccer. What drew yep. you to that sport?
I don't know. It was just, you know, that kind of seems like the sport that everybody starts off playing is soccer because it's easy. You can play at the age of three and things like that. But I just took a really liking to it. Got pretty good at it. Started playing on travel teams. You know, still like soccer to this day, still watch it all the time. Mm-hmm. Barcelona's coming to D.C. on the 28th, so I think I might go to that game in FedEx Field, actually, because I'm just a huge soccer fan. I'm a huge sports fan in general. But, yeah, my younger brother's an actor, so he hasn't played a sport a day in his life. So
really?
Yeah, you know, my dad never forced us to play. He said, you like what you like, but if you're going to do this, you're going to do it right, and you're going to be dedicated to it. So once I told him, you know, this is what I really wanted to do, he said, okay, we're going to get serious about it.
And what about your brother? Is he acting on any big screen films or anything like that? Is he in L.A.? What's he doing with his acting career?
That's where, you know, where he wants to go. He's a junior in high school now at Duke okay. Ellington, Performing Arts High School in D.C. He's a million times smarter than I ever was, going for valedictorian now. You know, got colleges left and right calling him. He's actually at Carnegie Mellon right now, doing a five-week drama program on a full scholarship there. So he does drama like I do football. I'm extremely proud of him. I'm trying to keep up with him, man, every day. You know, just trying to make him proud and try to be an example that as a big brother to him. And, you know, he's going to be making his college decision soon, you know, much like I did for football. He's going to have to do it for drama.
That's great stuff. Now, Darian, why Michigan State? When you came out as a player in high school, why did you say East Lansing is the place for me?
It was the people here. It was a culture that Coach D has built here, the family atmosphere. That I felt when I took my visit here. I only took one official visit, and it was to Michigan State University.
One visit?
That was it. Just one visit. Wow. You know, I had a fair share of offers coming out of high school, but when I came here, I just kind of fell in love with the culture. I wanted to play big-time football and get a great education, and that was what I was able to do here at Michigan State, and I couldn't imagine myself playing anywhere else.
Darian, I want to shift gears now and talk about a story that nationally has really taken precedence everywhere you look. When you talk about college football, the story that everyone has an opinion about happens to be now former quarterback for the Florida State University Seminoles, DeAndre Johnson. He was actually caught on film at a bar punching a woman. We've seen instances like this with student athletes and their troubles off the field. You have been pretty fortunate to now reach your senior year and really have no off the field quarrels. What is the key to that? And what was your reaction when you saw that video?
I think the key to it is leadership. Leadership from the older guys on the team, setting the example. You know, when I got here, Max Buller, Chris Norman, Danico Allen, those were the guys that were in my linebacker room that were the older guys on the team that kind of set a standard of how we do things here at Michigan State, how we act off the field, how we represent ourselves. And then that trickled down from the coaches and from the staff and how they, you know, presented this university and, you know, getting us to understand that we're bigger, this is bigger than ourselves, and that we represent an entire brand and culture here. As far as, you know, that situation, you know, I have seen the video, and it's just an unfortunate situation where You just can't retaliate. You know, you might have seen her kind of, you know, egg it on, you know, in a way.
Even through the first punch.
But, you know, you just can't retaliate. You got to be bigger than the situation. You got to hope that you have teammates there that can pull you out of that situation. You know, you kind of ask where the leaders on the team were in that situation, allowing him to even get that far. And, we just have to hold each other accountable. I hope he gets another opportunity. You know, as college athletes, I feel like we all are a brotherhood and we're all trying to reach the same common goal. So, I definitely hope and pray that he gets another opportunity. He made one unfortunate situation and put himself in a bad predicament, but I really hope that he learns from his mistake and is able to move on.
Darian, why do you think we see so many domestic violence issues with football players away from the field?
I don't know. I think sometimes it might be hard to, get out of that football gear when you step away from the field. That's one thing I really try to do is just to, when I'm on the field, I'm focused. Coach Barnett, our D coordinator and DB coach, has a great saying that says, let the other guy out when you're on the field. Much like the Hulk, that's what he compares it to. But, you got to be a different person on the field. And then you got to be a completely different person off the field. You got to be kosher. You got to be calm, cool, collected. Just a regular guy off the field. And I think sometimes it's hard for guys to, change their attitude when they're off the field. And because football is a violent sport. It's a collision sport. You have to have a certain attitude to play it at a high level, especially, really playing at any position, honestly. It doesn't really matter what position you are. You got to have that drive, that attitude, that kind of nastiness to play football. But it can't carry over off the field, especially when it comes to women. You got to be extremely respectful to women. And, watching First Take the other day, I heard Stephen A. Smith give a great point that, almost no matter what, in any situation, we were raised by women. We were raised by our moms. A lot of guys are fortunate to have their dads. I'm not saying that's not the case, but, in all situations, pretty much, 99% of the situations, at least you had your mom there. So to treat women disrespectfully to me is beyond me and unfathomable. And, I think that you just got to look at the situation as what if it was your mom? What if it was your sister, your cousin, your friend's wife, anything like that, how would you feel if that was the situation? So I think just, looking at the bigger picture, hopefully this gets changed, it gets resolved. It's definitely a serious issue, and I'm glad that, America as a whole is really tackling it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mama Harris has certainly done a great job, right? Gotta love that. All right, Darian, I want to talk about your play on the field now. You are slated to be the starting star linebacker for Michigan State this upcoming season. What's the summer been like, and do you feel any pressure knowing that this is your senior year? This is the last time you will don the green and white jersey. Any pressure knowing that the NFL may be in your horizon?
I wouldn't really call it pressure. I think I'm just thankful and blessed to be in the position that I am to get an opportunity to play on the next level. It's always been a dream of mine to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just taking everything one day at a time. I'm not looking, towards the season just yet. I think that's a great thing that Coach Manny has us do is say, just take it one day at a time. Right now today's Wednesday. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow's workout. After tomorrow's workout, I'll just be looking forward to Friday's workout. And that allows us to not get ahead of ourselves. And just as a senior, I just look back and see the opportunities I've had here and that I've been able to take advantage of and know that, going into this season, I have to lay it all on the line. Myself and my fellow 2011 classmates, we're ready to fall into that role as seniors and, lead this team. We've had some success in the past, but, we credit that success to the seniors from that team. The Cotton Bowl was, the 2014 seniors. The Rose Bowl was 2013 seniors. Even mm-hmm. though we were a part of those teams, those weren't our teams. Our names aren't on those banners. So we got to write our own legacy, and, we're really ready to do that this year.
Is it a bit weird knowing that Pat Narduzzi is no longer the defensive coordinator here at Michigan State, an esteemed leader, now head coach at the University of Pittsburgh? What did Dews bring to the table, and how do you try to combat that absence?
Energy. Anybody that knows Coach Narduzzi knows he's an extremely energetic coach, extremely passionate about the game, and one of the main reasons that I came here, no question, was Coach Narduzzi. And, extremely proud of what he's been able to do and, getting that role at Pitt as a head coach. He's going to do a phenomenal job there, no question about that. Mm-hmm. He loved the game. He loved the coach. He loved us as his players, and he coached us extremely hard, but we really responded to that here. You know, he had a certain way of coaching. He wasn't going to change for anybody. And, you know, we responded to that, and we loved the way he coached us, and, you know, we wish him all the best.
What's your favorite Pat Narduzzi story? You got one?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many Pat Narduzzi stories. You know, I just remember Indiana last year. We might have even been winning the game, losing the game. I don't even know. We came in at halftime, and I was sitting up in the front. And, you know, he has to come down from the press box, the famous press box that everybody knows. He starts the game in off. So it takes him a little longer to get to the locker room. And then the first thing he do is he came in the locker room, picked up a chair, hurled it across the room, almost took my head off. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
That's Coach Narduzzi. And, yeah. You know, we love that. You know, that's just energy. That's passion. We responded. We came out in the second half and had a much better second half. And, you know, we would just love the energy that he brought to the team.
Before we let the 12 men get at you, Darian, quickly, I have to bring up the attention that the University of Michigan football team has garnered now with the hiring of head coach Jim Harbaugh out there. I even saw Jim Harbaugh's face actually grace my mailbox when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated not too long ago, and he hasn't even coached a game yet right. for the Maize and Blue. Do you guys kind of look at that as disrespect?
Not really. I mean, we always play with a chip on our shoulder. We always know that. You know, when it comes to the Michigan State rivalry, they've always tried to make us second fiddle. You know, dating back to the little brother comments from Mike Hart. I mean, we never forget those types of things. But he's a Michigan man. You know, he went there. That's the reason he went back there. And I'm sure they're extremely happy to have him back. He did a great job in San Francisco, so I know he's hoping to do the same thing in Michigan. And like I said, we just take everything one day at a time. You know, when we get to that game, we get to play in the Big House this year, which is, you know, one of the most historic stadiums in the country and a great stadium to play in. It's a fun environment to play in. You know, no matter how you feel about Michigan or how they feel about us, you know, you can't deny the environment that you get to play in as a college athlete playing in the Big House in front of, you know, 110,000 fans. So, you know, it'll just be a great experience to play there, especially with Coach Harbaugh coming back to Michigan, and we're already looking forward to it.
Now, Darian, I know the cliche answer to this next question is, yeah, anytime you play Michigan, it's a big game. But is there any added fervor knowing that Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of that team?
I'm sure there will be. It throws a little wrinkle in it this year. There's always some new storyline every year when we play them, and this year it'll probably be, you know, Coach Harbaugh being there. So. Like I said, it just, you know, that's what college football is about to me, is the rivalries and being able to play in those types of environments. So there won't be a seat open in that game, and it's going to be a great one.
What's the expectation for this upcoming year? Have you guys even discussed that yet? Two top five finishes the past two seasons. Does the mountain become higher now?
Yeah, the mountain always becomes higher. We always talk about not being complacent. Like I said, always playing with a chip on our shoulder. That's always been our mantra. And, you know, there's always room to go up. You know, finishing number three in the country, then number five in the country was great. We want to do better than that. So we're trying to, you know, do new things that we've never done to get somewhere we've never been. And if that's a national championship, then that's a national championship. But like I said, we just take stuff one day at a time. And I think that, you know, taking a step back actually in terms of just saying, like I said, you know, just looking forward to Thursday's workout. And then after Thursday, looking forward to Friday's workout. That allows us to kind of hone in on each day and not look too far in the future so that, you know, everything we do can build up to the ultimate goal.
Was that not hot or what? Darian Harris, Michigan State senior linebacker, is my guest this week on WKAR's Current Sports TV. Catch the visual of that interview and the entire episode tonight on your televisions at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. It's in our second break. We'll put a bow on today's show by bringing you Throwback Thursday and briefly chatting about Plaxico Burress, former Michigan State gridiron great, bashing former Michigan State football coach Nick Saban. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. Welcome back. Brief break there. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Well, just about 7 minutes left in the show. Really brief thoughts here, and we will certainly go in more depth on this story because kind of cracked a smile after reading this one because, hey, I tell you what, he has a point. Well, I'm talking about is Plaxico Burress, former Michigan State football standout back in, 1999 is when Burress actually left the Spartans to pursue the NFL. The wide receiver had some interesting thoughts, though, concerning former MSU football coach Nick Saban. Saban was actually called out by Burress after the coach, Nick Saban, called for the timetable for players to receive feedback on their NFL prospects to be pushed back because it was a distraction. Burress ripped his former coach on Twitter, saying the coach lied to the Spartans in 1999 when he said he was committed to the school, only to leave the next day to become the head coach at LSU. Here's a few of the tweets Burress actually tweeted. This is actually at 5:26 p.m. yesterday. Nick Saban looked his players in the face at the Duff, said he wasn't leaving, I'm committed to the program, and was gone the next day. True story. Plaxico Burress also tweets, now Nick Saban's players are being distracted by the NFL and chasing a dream. Ha ha. Tell your story, Nick. LSU showed you money. You was gone. Ha. And he goes on to say, I recall Nick Saban telling me to stay in school, finish what I started. I wasn't a first-round pick material, and he left for LSU before the season was over. Now Nick Saban goes on TV saying the kids are distracted by NFL projections. Well, the kids are just chasing a dream that you were. And then he has, like, dollar signs after that period. I think Plaxico Burress is dead on, Isaac Constance. You know, when looking at this story, really Nick Saban's quarrels are directly in correlation with his success at Alabama. When you are a perennial powerhouse in a respective sport, Alabama college football is a culture now. And Nick Saban is arguably the best college football coach in the game right now. You can make that argument. And, you know, he's won national championships with Bama. With that attention and with that target, you're going to have NFL teams want to look at your players. And you're going to have those players wanting to chase the NFL dream as soon as they can. I found it, you know, Saban's, you know, thought on this pretty comedic, Isaac. He goes on to say, you're talking about a young person who has to deal with a lot. We had 6 guys in the situation last year and 11 the year before. So we're trying to get ready for a game. Then all of a sudden, a guy finds out he's in a first-round draft pick, or a guy that thought he was a first-round draft pick isn't a first-round draft pick, and we're trying to get ready to play a playoff game. Well, Nick, what do you expect? Isn't that why many individuals go to your program? They go to your program to realize the NFL dream. And looking at how the NFL, as the years go by and we start to learn more and more about what concussions can do to your brain while playing the game of football, wouldn't you want your players to reach that dream? At the end of the day, I think Nick Saban's comments are totally selfish. At the end of the day, it's about him winning games in order to keep his job. I get it. But you're already getting the creme de la creme of recruits on a yearly basis. So why not let a kid entertain at any time during the season him being an NFL draft pick? It's your job to keep that in check and to keep the kid focused at the same time. I get that. But don't knock the kid for doing it. I thought it was just absolutely ridiculous. And I really commend Plaxico Burress for his tweets.
Al, one thing that I was surprisingly pleased with coming up to MSU is finding another program that hated Saban as much as I do, because I'm a raised LSU fan.
Exactly.
So when he left LSU to go to the pros just for a year and then went to their bitter rivals, Alabama, that's the Ohio State-Michigan game of the South. No, Nick Saban, he is selfish. He's got a little bit of money on his mind and a little bit of loyalty issues, and that's surely the case. I think it's tough to dispute anything that Buehr said.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very true. We're going to dive more in depth on that really briefly here. A quick throwback Thursday rundown for you, Isaac. On this day in sports history in 1950, the largest crowd in sporting history was 1,999,884. They watched the Uruguay defeat Brazil in the World Cup soccer finals in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I don't want anybody calling me saying, Al, you messed up that name like we've had in the past, right, Isaac? 1964, Little League Baseball Incorporated was granted a federal charter unanimously by the United States Senate and House of Representatives in 1970. The Pittsburgh Pirates played their first game at Three River Stadium. And in 1985, the All-Star Game, televised on NBC TV, was the first program broadcast in stereo by a TV network. A few birthdays: Jimmy Johnson, Gary Anderson, Terry Pendleton, Charles Smith, Chip Lowmiller, and Barry Sanders. Happy birthday, Barry Sanders. Lions great. All right, folks, we are out of time. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to all of you for tuning in to Current Sports Today with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Catch Current Sports TV tonight with guest MSU star linebacker Darian Harris. Take care and be easy, people.